Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. Great to have you with us on a Friday. Everybody's here. We got D-Day, Double D, Dylan, me, Chelsea, whole crew on a Friday. Welcome back. Coming up on the show, what we think about the early slate in the NFL this weekend and how the Ravens will fare without Lamar Jackson. You know what always makes me feel dumb is, well, a lot of things, but also when I'm asked to do some sort of really in the weeds X's and O's analysis. Like, I was on a podcast earlier this week for the Commanders, and they asked me what I would do and what schemes I would run to fix the defense. And, you know, I can give some residual ideas, but I am not a defensive coordinator. And so I always feel like, oh God, how am I going to answer this question? You know, I'd show cover zero and then drop back into match coverage, guys. Probably stunt more up front. I mean, I know a little bit, but certainly, I mean, you can make different adjustments and there's some macro things that you can see, but the more you learn about the game and the more you learn about the sport, particularly if you study football or study a particular sport, I mean, there's so much nuance there. That's when I feel like I'm kind of getting out of my comfort zone.
Right. And like, how much of that is in your job description? Like, I'm not sure right. What they ask you to do with the Commanders. But, like, at the end of the day, like, I was not hired on this show to be a defensive coordinator. Like, I'm not an X's and O's person. Right. I am a betting analyst. So that's why you see at the very top of the industry, the guys who are the analysts usually have either played the game or coached at a very high level because, you know, that's their wheelhouse and their resume dictates it. Because I feel like in this day and age, like, we have a lot of people, especially on social media, who do things that they are not qualified for.
Correct.
Do you get what I'm saying?
Yes.
And it's like, why is a contestant from The Bachelor giving me medical advice? Like, there's no background there.
Right.
Or the other day, like, this is one where maybe this is a little outline, but okay, so Ben Affleck and Jennifer Garner's daughter was speaking to the United Nations. You're like, what? She's like 15.
Oh my God.
I'm like, what has she done to like validate this? And like, I need to look into it further. Maybe she did something cool. I don't know. But like in the surface, you're like, oh, it's because she's a celebrity's daughter. So it's just, we live in a world where it just feels like people don't care about these type of things anymore.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if this is a skill that people didn't learn in school, but to me, you should speak on the topics that you are qualified to speak about.
For sure. And I don't mean to imply for a second that just because you didn't play a particular sport means you can't talk about it intelligently. You certainly can. But, you know, and I think you would agree with that. Absolutely. We do that on the show. And there are a lot of people who didn't play a particular sport. Like Mina Kimes, for example, I always use. Like, she's brilliant. She's so good at ESPN and knows so much about ball. Didn't play the sport, but it doesn't matter. She's intelligent and studied. But also, I know what you're talking about. Sometimes you think, why are you telling me about this, especially if it's medical advice?
Ah, that's the worst, and that's like dangerous. Like, it's one thing if Mad Dog Russo is spitting WNBA takes. Like, maybe they're uninformed, but at least they're not hurting someone.
Yeah. No, it's true. If Stephen A. Smith says, well, you've got an aneurysm, I'll be like, are you sure? Why are you telling me this? Let's go back to you ranting about the Cowboys or something. Well, the Cowboys are on the schedule this week. They're part of the early slate. So, how about we talk some Week 5 football? Here we go.
when the Minnesota Vikings took the field in London in October of 2025, the franchise had but a singular goal in mind: to enjoy the miming mastery of one Shadur Sanders.
I'd love to see Shadur on a street corner, tip jar, miming. A little box. All right, Chelsea, London game. Vikings, Browns. Vikings are laying 3.5. Vikings are minus 200. Browns are plus 165. Total is 36 and a hook. No, Shadur will not start. That will be Dylan Gabriel instead. And I like the Vikings. I am fading Dylan Gabriel here.
I don't really trust Dylan Gabriel either, but what I do trust is the Browns defense. We got to talk about this Browns run defense for just a quick second, because they have been the best in the NFL by a considerable margin, averaging just 2.7 yards per carry given up to opposing rush offenses. The next best is the Bucs at 3.3. So, like, what that means to me is that the onus is going to be on Carson Wentz. And, like, that's not a great feeling to me. I will say the Vikings aren't afraid to sling it. We saw that last game. Carson Wentz went 30 of 46, 350 yards, 2 touchdowns, but also 2 interceptions. So I think there is a reason why this total is sitting at 36.5. Because, Jenks, that was my first thought was, okay, I don't really trust either of these quarterbacks, and I trust both of these defenses. But 36.5 is damn low. I think the way to play this one, it's not going to make the card for me, but I'm going to go passing attempts for Carson Wentz over 30.5 for even money. I do think the Vikings are going to have to throw the ball to get that offense going, because you ain't running on the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah, this feels like, I mean, I'm hoping based on the point spread, like a 17-10 game Vikings win. It's going to be really ugly. I would still lean towards the under, just because you talk about that Browns defense. I mean, look how good the Browns were when they played the Lions, right? You know, they can, or not the Lions. Who did they play that they beat up?
The Packers. And
Packers, that's who it was, where they just, you know, the Packers couldn't do anything after looking so dynamic on offense. So this week we get the, you know, we get the Lions back on the turf and looking as good as ever. But yeah, the, you know, the Browns are a team that they can shut you down, but they don't generate anything on offense. I mean, nothing. Like, even with Joe Flacco in there, they just don't move the ball. Like, they're averaging, you know, less than 4 yards per play, and now you get a rookie going in there, going up against a Vikings defense. So when you have a Brian Flores defense going up against a rookie, I just feel like that's going to be a massive mismatch. As good as Cleveland is defensively, I feel like Minnesota can get points on the board, where I don't know if the Browns can do it.
I don't know. I think the trouble is 3.5 points sounds like it's not a lot, but in a game where it totals 36.5,
yeah,
like, I don't love that either. Like, if you think it's going to be tight, it's going to be sweat.
Well, fortunately for us, there's plenty of games on the card, but I'm going to lean towards, I'm probably going to play this as part of our show parlay. I'm going to play Vikings -3. I feel like they can absolutely cover the 3 against the Browns, because I just don't see Dylan Gabriel getting in the end zone, and that's why his touchdown prop is set at 0.5. So if you like the over, all he needs is a single score. Let's go to the 1 o'clock games, Chelsea, and we can start with, how about Raiders-Colts? Like, the Colts are laying 7. The Colts are minus 300 on the money line. Vegas is plus 240, and the total is 48. So the Colts, you probably should have won last week against the Rams. Didn't get it done, but laying 7 against the Raiders. Would you do that with Indy? You going to back the Colts now after this hot start?
I think 7 feels a little too rich for my blood, but I do think it's a perfect teaser leg, because I do think the Colts get the job done. The Colts have proven to me that they're a pretty trustworthy team. And plus, I think this lines up pretty well for Jonathan Taylor. I was looking at his rush prop, and it's 90.5. So clearly odds makers are expecting a big game on the ground from Jonathan Taylor. And that makes the job for, you know, Danny Dimes a lot easier. And he's been really good on his own. I'll give him credit. And the Raiders just look like a team that's lost right now. I think the only sabotage factor is we see games like this and we assume that they will go according to plan. But look at last night. The Rams were 8.5-point favorites. So I don't know. There is chaos a brewing in the NFL the past couple of weeks. But if I had to lean, it would be the Colts laying 7.
I don't know. I think I would lean Raiders, maybe. I can't wait to see Ashton Jeanty perform now that he's standing up like Michael Myers again. Honestly, that's really exciting that now he doesn't have to crouch, because Chip Kelly was like, oh, you have to have your knees flexed. You have to. And he's like, dude, I've been doing this since high school. Just let me play my game. And no coincidence, he goes off last week. But, you know, to your point, the Raiders defensive line, they have Max Crosby, but that's just about it.
Like, they just don't really get a push, and so we could see Danny Dimes with a decent day. I want to see how Ashton Jeanty performs now. It doesn't sound like much, but mentally him able to stand up and play the way he's accustomed to playing, I think is huge for the Raiders because they don't generate a lot of offense anyway. I'm not going to play it, but I think I would lean Raiders plus the 7. Need to see a little bit more from the Colts, even though they have definitely been one of the surprise teams in the NFL. I'll tell you a game I like, which I can't believe I like this game. The Saints laying 2 against the Giants. In New Orleans, the Saints are minus 130. The G-Men are plus 110. The total is 42. I think the Saints are favored in this game. Like, if you saw this line, wouldn't you be like, you've got to be kidding me. The Saints are favored? I think the Saints are going to win.
This reminds me of that Dolphins game. The Dolphins game against the Jets, where we said it to ourselves, the Dolphins are 2.5-point favorites. Have you seen the Dolphins? So sometimes the books know, and this feels like a case of that. And I'll say this for the Saints. Like, they've been holding their own in some of these games against some decent teams. Like, maybe not against the Seahawks, but, like, they were competitive at least with the Bills. Were within 5 points of the Niners, 1 score of the Cardinals. So it's not a team that's as bad as maybe I expected, because I expected them to be the absolute bottom of the barrel. And that award goes to my Titans. So I do think this line is a little fishy, and I do think you lean towards the fishy line when it comes to NFL.
Yeah, I think so as well. I would take a look at the under, but the line is super fishy. And not only that, if you look at that Giants win against the Chargers, I think it's easy to sort of look at that and say they got Jackson Dart, they're a different offense. That's not really the case. He had that one rushing touchdown, but if you look at the box score, you look at the metrics there, that was all about the Giants' defensive front, putting pressure on Justin Herbert and making sure the Giants had short fields to work with on offense. And the Saints are due for a win. They're back at home, and also Malik Nabers is out, so that is a huge loss for the Giants. I just don't know if this is a good spot for Jackson Dart in his second start, even though it is New Orleans, so I would lean the Saints here. How about the Cowboys and Jets in the Meadowlands? The Cowboys laying just 2.5. They're minus 150 on the money line. The New York Football Jets plus 125, and the total is 47.5. I got to tell you, I like the Jets here on the money line. I think this is where the Jets get their first win for Aaron Glenn. Like, the Cowboys score a ton of points, but their secondary is so bad. Like, good on Dak Prescott for keeping Dallas in games, but as many points as the Cowboys can score, so can the Jets. And honestly, I expect the Jets to clean things up because last week against Miami, they had, 13 penalties and 3 turnovers. They clean things up a little bit against this really bad Dallas defense. They can win this game outright. It's plus money. I'm going to be on the Jets.
I think I'm going to be on the over. I think both these teams can score because we've seen that from the Cowboys offense. Even without CeeDee Lamb, Dak and company are scoring points, and I think it's going to be a great game for props as well. I think there are two guys you target in on. Simply from a matchup standpoint, you have to look at Garrett Wilson in this one because the Cowboys defense is giving up the most receiving yards of any defense in the NFL. So Garrett Wilson's prop this week is 62.5. He has a relatively high floor, numbers of 82, 84, 50, and 95. And last game had 8 targets for 82. So I think Garrett Wilson is in for a big day. And so is George Pickens, coming off 134 yards against Green Bay. Over 70.5 is the play for him.
What's going to happen in Philly? Broncos and Eagles at the link. Philly's laying 3.5. They're minus 210 on the money line. Denver is plus 170, and the total is 43.5. Can the Broncos cover the 3.5? This is the one game I've gone back and forth on. I just can't figure out a side. I would maybe lean Broncos because of the hook. That defense is really good, and the Eagles aren't necessarily explosive on offense. Ask A.J. Brown. But I feel like Denver might be the play here. I just like other games on the board outside of this one.
Yeah, it was tough for me because I said to myself the exact same thing when the Eagles played the Bucs. I was like, 3.5, the Bucs can keep it close. They did not cover the 3.5. But A.J. Brown's going to absolutely hate this game. Like, as much as he's been complaining, you're like, okay, he's got to get the targets this game, right? No, they're going against one of the best secondaries in the NFL and Patrick Surtain, who is the reigning NFL player, defensive player of the year. So he is going to be extremely smothered and covered in this game. I just think this is a bad matchup. And I wonder if we're going to see more from Saquon Barkley in the rush game. because that has been a weird thing this year about the Eagles. You know, they have this great offensive line. Saquon is the best running back in the NFL, but the numbers just haven't been there for him. So we'll see if it's a get-right game for them, but matchup-wise, it is not an easy defensive assignment, or offensive assignment, I should say, going against this Broncos defense.
If you want to talk Dolphins, Panthers, knock yourself out. Yeah, no. Pass. We're going to pass. Texans, pass. Ravens. Houston is laying a point and a half. They're minus 120 on the money line. Baltimore's even money, total at 40 and a hook. Obviously, no Lamar Jackson for 2 to 3 weeks for the Ravens. They're hoping to get him back in week 7. What's going to happen in this game? I would go with the under.
It does feel like both of these offenses kind of suck right now.
They do.
But if there's ever a get-right spot for the Texans, it's against this Ravens defense. So I do think C.J. Stroud is going to have an easier time against a decimated Ravens defense. And this number's pretty low, so maybe it's going to be a pass for me, but I think it's going to be a big Nico Collins game. I do think that props are always in play when you play the Ravens defense, who's bottom across the board in just about everything. So Nico Collins is a true number one receiver. I think you go with this prop. I think it's around 70.
I'd go with the under. Again, total is 40 and a hook. So if you're the Ravens, do you really want to toss the ball around? I would feed Derrick Henry. Only had 8 carries last week. Fewest carries that he's had since like 2018 or something like that. Let him wear down that Texans defense. Also, Houston, despite being 1-3, has allowed the fewest points in the National Football League. So I think we see one of those grinded out games in Charm City. Coming up next, if you don't like the early games on the schedule, we've got plenty to choose from in the afternoon. That is next on the Daily Tip on the BetMGM Network.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Thanks for waking up with us. Coming up on the show, the Commanders get Jaden Daniels back at quarterback. How much will it matter against Jim Harbaugh and the Chargers? Harbaugh.
Harbaugh.
Harbaugh. Are you a big camper at all?
Mm-mm.
Do you camp? The only reason I ask this, you're like, where are you going with this? You're going from Harbaugh. I mean, didn't Jim Harbaugh? No, I saw this. Was it last year where... either a training camp. He was staying in a trailer, like in LA, somewhere near the beach, and he was taking someone on a tour where he's like, I'm just sitting here in a trailer. This is where I stay. A very Jim Harbaugh. And I say this also right. Because I got to stay away from these clickbait headlines. I saw this yesterday. I paid $300 to stay 2 nights in an Airstream trailer. I'll never do it again. And I was like, why? And so I clicked, and first of all, the complaint was, it was cramped and noisy. Well, it's cramped. You're staying in a trailer. And also, this woman paid $300 via Airbnb, I think, to stay in an Airstream trailer in the middle of Vienna, Austria. Like, in the middle of the city. I'm like, of course it was cramped and noisy. I thought, oh, it's a trailer. It's an Airstream trailer. You're gonna, you know, somewhere close to the great outdoors. Fresh air. Like, you got a camper or a trailer in the middle of the city and you're surprised that it's loud. I'm just like, what am I doing? Just keep scrolling. Keep scrolling.
We got to bring back Captain Obvious. Remember when that was a thing? It's like, no bleep, Captain Obvious. Because, like, that's the only good thing about staying in a trailer or, like, camping is that you are closer to nature in, like, some beautiful, picturesque setting.
Right.
Say in, like, Yosemite or something. Like, that's the only way I would ever go camping. And I still don't wanna because we live in the year 2025 and I want nice sheets and a nice comfy bed, and I don't want to be cramped. Because, like, why would you do that? Like, why would you go back in time and, you know, go back in advancements? Like, I love the outdoors, but I want to sleep in a nice bed.
Right.
So people complain about the dumbest things.
I'm like, what did you think was going to happen? I set myself on fire, and it was too hot. I'll never do it again. It's like, well, yeah. Okay, I'm sure it was. Like, if you're going to get something in the middle of the city, outdoors, of course it's going to be loud. But then that triggered, oh, Jim Harbaugh did this. But of course, Harbaugh was like, oh, this is great. You got a little bed right here. Walk outside, get some fresh air. That's great. Football guy, living in a trailer. That's why people love him. All right, Heather will be on the sideline this weekend for Chargers Commanders. We'll talk about that here in just a couple of minutes. But let's start with your Titans. How about that?
Oh,
woof. Titans and Cardinals, Chelsea. Zona laying 7. They're minus 425 on the money line. Tennessee plus 325. Total is 42. Are you laying 7 with the Cardinals? You know what I would do is, isn't this a perfect game to tease? Like, you could tease the Cards down to 1 and put this in a teaser, right?
I don't think you need to tease it. Like, here's the problem with the Titans. They are so broken that I don't trust them in any way. And here's the thing. As bad as the Titans have been, they've also been on, like, a historic run where they aren't covering numbers. Yeah. Like, last year, they were the worst covering team in the NFL. So not only are they bad, they're bad for bettors as well. So do not touch the Titans with a 10-foot pole. I thought maybe last week against in a divisional game against a bad Texans offense that they had a shot. They didn't have a shot. And now you have Brian Callahan, you know, saying things about Cam Ward, saying, like, he needs to choose his words better. He's a young guy that needs to know the weight of his words. Here's a message for you, Brian Callahan. If your team is 0-4 with the worst point differential in the NFL, your team is ass. Cam Ward was right. And at least he has some accountability.
Yeah, I would not chastise my quarterback for being upset that we're losing. The Titans are averaging 3.66 yards per play. That is historically bad. 3.66 yards per play. Stats don't always tell the story. It tells the story here. And also, if you look at the odds online, Brian Callahan, by far the favorite to be the first coach to get fired in the NFL. He's minus 275. I mean, you listen to talk radio, he's going to get canned, I feel like.
Yeah, it's a matter of time because they have the Patriots in week 6. And if you get your ass handed to you by Mike Vrabel, how's that going to look? It's going to look terrible for the organization. So if not before then, it's definitely going to be after them.
Bucks and Seahawks in Seattle, Chelsea. Seattle is laying 3.5. They're minus 185 on the money line. The Bucks are plus 150. The total is 44 and a hook. I'm always biased when it comes. I love Seattle. I've been to Seattle a couple times. I love that city. It's so cool. And I've been to that stadium. But I think the Bucks are the right side here. I'm just a big fan of Seattle and Sam Darnold's sort of reclamation project story. I think it's great when a guy who's, you know, has been counted out sort of reinvents himself and has a success at this level, which he's doing right now. But the Bucks are really good. I feel like the market still doesn't respect them like they should. And also, the one thing the Bucks do really well is stop the run. That's one of the strengths of their team besides their offense. So if you're Seattle, you want to have a balanced attack, right? You want Sammy Darnold, you want Jackson Smith and Jigba to get it done through the air. You want Kenneth Walker on the ground. But the Bucks are going to force Seattle to throw a lot and stop that ground game. And I think if they make Seattle one-dimensional, they can hang with the Seahawks here. Also, Baker Mayfield as a dog in Tampa is 13-5 against the number. So I'm going to go Bucks plus 3.5.
I think this game handicap is how much you make of situational spots in the NFL. Because situationally, I feel like this is a really tough spot for the Bucks. Coming off a game that was very physical against the Eagles. And we've seen this in years past. When teams play a very physical team the week before, it's very tough for them to kind of recover in a week. Plus, you go all the way to Seattle. I think, and even from like a Sam Darnold standpoint, like, isn't this the like ultimate respect game? Because I feel like neither of these teams are really respected.
Yeah.
And I do think if there's any team who can still move the football even if the run is stopped, because you're right, the Bucs have the second best rush defense in the NFL according to yards per carry via their opponents, it's still Sam Darnold. Like, I still believe in him as a veteran quarterback who can move the ball. So I think odds makers may be onto something here. Like, the hook scares me a little bit, but situationally, this is not the best spot for the Bucks.
All right, then. So, agree to disagree there. What do you think about Lions-Bengals? Oh, God. Oof. Detroit laying 10.5. Lions minus 600. Cincy is plus 425. The total is 49 and a hook. This line has moved from Lions minus 9.5. Not necessarily surprising. Are you going to lay 10.5 with the Lions? Because I might.
I think you could certainly make a good case for it, but more than that, I think I'm going to go with an over here. Because I do think, you know, you can certainly count on the Lions to score at least 30 points. And plus, we've seen them keep their foot on the gas pedal. Like that game against the Bears, they put up a 52 spot. And I will say, from a Bengals standpoint, defensively, it's not going to be an easy matchup, but it should be easier than going against the Broncos, who have the absolute worst nightmare matchup you could have against your best weapons. Because for the Bengals, their best weapons are Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins. But when you play the best secondary with the best, you know, corner in the game, you know, it's just a really tough matchup against the Broncos. So maybe the Bengals can at least contribute to the total here. It is pretty high at 49.5, but Jinx, I'm going to go with the over here.
I would lean Detroit. I don't like laying double-digit numbers. And also, this is the Lions on the road. They're more effective on turf than they are on grass. But at the same time, the one thing the Lions do really well is they stop the run. So what does that mean? It means putting this game, if you're the Bengals, on the shoulders of Jake Browning. I don't feel good about that. Also, that Lions offense has been rolling. 52 points, 38 points, 34 points in their last three games. You could maybe look at a Lions team total because the Bengals don't stop anyone, but I would lean Detroit here if you're looking at a side. Here we go. Commanders at the Chargers. This line seems a little fishy. The Chargers only laying 2.5. They're minus 155 on the money line. The Commanders plus 130, and the total is 48. I think this is my least favorite game on the schedule. And I want to lean to the Commanders because they get Jaden Daniels back and he can cover up a lot of warts on offense. But really, the issue for the Commanders hasn't been their offense. It's been their defense. I think if you're Washington, A, they really need this game. But B, they have to take advantage of the Chargers' offensive line and how banged up they are. That's how the Giants won last week. Joe Alt out. Rashawn Slater out for the season. So if they give Justin Herbert time in the pocket like they gave Michael Penix Jr. time last week, it's going to be a long game. What they need to do is pressure the quarterback and envelop him like they did Geno Smith a couple of weeks ago. So I'm going to lean Commanders plus 2.5. This line seems short, and I think the Commanders get a boost from Jaden Daniels, but I like other games better than this one.
I think this is a tricky one because there are so many injuries with the Commanders and big ones. We know that Scary Terry has been on the injury report, and he is he out? Yeah, he's out. Terry McLaurin's not even playing this game. And then Deebo Samuel didn't practice for 2 days in a row, so you're closer to the situation than I am. Do you think he plays?
Deebo's going to play. Deebo's going to play, but Terry is out, Noah Brown is out, and that's a real weak spot for the Commanders right now. Like, who's going to step up at receiver? They have Luke McCaffrey, they have Jalen Lane. Like, they have just some guys, you know, a rookie in Lane, but they don't have, I mean, they're thin anyway. So you've got two of your top three guys out. They really lean on Deebo and creative play calling from Cliff Kingsbury. But you're right, it's absolutely a factor if you're handicapping this game.
Yeah. All right, Sunday night game. Can we talk about this one? Because I think it's going to be a good one.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Let's do it.
I think I like the Patriots getting 8 points on the road at the Bills. We know the Bills look like the best team in football, or at least according to oddsmakers, because they are the favorites to win the Super Bowl. But Drake May has put on quite the show over the past couple weeks, and we've seen Buffalo let bad teams hang around. We saw it with the Dolphins. That game was tied in the fourth quarter. The Saints scored more points than they should have. So I think the defensive flaws for Buffalo could be some problems for Buffalo here. I don't know if the Patriots went outright on the road at Buffalo. That is a very tough place to play, but I do think they can cover the 8.
Yeah, this was sitting at 8.5 earlier this week, so we're seeing some of that Patriots money come in. I'm with you here. 8 points in a divisional game. Also, the Patriots are showing some signs of life. I know they've only beaten the Dolphins and Raiders, but Drake May has looked really good this season. 7 touchdowns, 2 picks, and revenge game for Stephon Diggs. pink powder for everyone. I'm with you. Patriots plus 8 feels like the right call there. Coming up next, we're going to drop down a level and see if Florida State can recover from that loss against Virginia and pull off the upset against the Canes. College football is coming up next. Hour 2 on the way here on the Daily Tip. Come on back.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.